Hello, my name is Pippa Smart, and I'm going to speak for a few minutes about launching new journals. Launching a new journal is one of the most exciting things that we do. To launch a new product and to see it actually hitting the market and to start and getting traction with the public, with our community, is a really exciting thing to do and one of the highlights of many people's job. But there is a syndrome called Volume 1, Issue 1 syndrome, where journals are launched with huge fanfare, great excitement, and after Issue 1, nothing is heard of them again. There are many reasons why journals fail, but if you want to make a new journal a success, there should be a great deal of planning that goes on underneath the journal itself, if you like, underneath the hood, that will make a journal successful in the long term, because sufficient care has been taken to ensure that when it's launched, it is the best it can be and it's hitting the right market. So in this short presentation, I'm going to briefly talk about some of the background things that you should be considering if you are ever asked to join a team to launch a new journal. Now, the idea for a new journal will frequently come from a respected academic or researcher, or maybe also from within a publisher's marketing department or within the editorial department. So you will have quite often a very enthusiastic person who's dead keen that we launch this journal as soon as possible. And often it's your job to dampen down that enthusiasm and to underpin it with some grounded planning. So with the pre-planning stage, you need to go beyond the enthusiasm. You need to take that enthusiasm, make it work for you, you know, enjoy the excitement, but you need to plan to ground that enthusiasm. The pre-planning stages that you need to go through are essentially three: the gaps, the market, and the money. So the first thing is to look at the gaps. Where is there a gap in the market? Is there a gap in the market where the excitable enthusiast that wants you to launch this journal thinks there is? Are there perhaps new research areas, perhaps crossover areas, which is a growing area at the moment? Are there perhaps a growth in a particular research area? So is there a lot more work taking place in a particular area? So are you getting crossovers? Are you getting new areas of research? Or is there a specific growth in research which is not currently being serviced by the existing journal environment? And this is vitally important. You need to make sure that there is a lack of competitor journals. Now, it is possible to launch a journal where there is already a huge amount of competition, and there are some key areas. General medicine, for example, is an area where there seems to be a never-ending desire to launch new general medical journals and for authors to publish in them and for people to read them. So having competitor journals is not necessarily a negative point, but it does make it much harder to build a brand and to actually gain traction within a market if there are a lot of other journals also aiming at the same community, the same authors, and the same readers. And this brings us on to the market. Who needs the journal? Does anybody really need this journal, this idea that you've got? And it's useful to break this down into the types of communities. What about the authors? Are there authors out there that are struggling to find a home for their research? And this is an area particularly where interdisciplinary research is becoming a common area for new journals, because frequently authors will struggle to place an article which crosses over several areas of research because they are somewhat outside the niche or the central topic area of any one journal. So think of the authors. What research have they got? Where do they want to place it? And they may also be thinking of how do they publish their research, perhaps in a different format? So perhaps this might indicate that the journal should be a video journal or an audio journal, or should have a heavy component in different types of media, or a different way of presenting the information to satisfy the needs of the authors who are looking to make their research publicly available. The flip side of authors are the readers. Are readers struggling to find an easily identifiable source of valid information for their research area? And could you be supplying that through the launch of this new journal? Now, readers and authors are often the same community, or at least they certainly overlap a great deal, but they do have distinct needs. So think of the authors and the readers separately, not as one general community mass. Also think of different countries and of regions, because there is areas of research that are greater and lesser priority in different countries. And there are areas of research which are a growth area in some countries, whilst they might actually be a decreasing area in other countries. So where are the governments putting their research money? Where are the grant funders funding research? Is there a niche for a journal that specifically services a group of countries, or perhaps even an individual country or a specific region? So think of authors, think of readers, and also break them down further into countries and regions. You might also want to break this down further into a practice market versus an academic market versus a research market. Because again, whilst there might be overlaps, they do have discrete and somewhat different needs. So think very closely about the market that you think the journal is going to serve, and also learn from the market to develop a journal that will serve that market. So it is an iterative process. The third part of pre-planning is money. And although this might appear a somewhat crude system, it's very important to ask whether there is enough money in the system to support a new journal. Journals are expensive. There's no guarantee of success when you're launching a new journal, and it can take many years to recoup your investment in a new journal. So you do need to think very carefully about how a journal will be funded in the short term, but most importantly, in the longer term. And this is looking at the money in the system. Now, the financial model for journals has become a lot more complicated over the last several decades. And we have moved from a fairly straightforward model where journals were supported through subscriptions, normally institutional, but perhaps also personal, and maybe also some advertising revenues as well. In our current environment, we're looking at more portfolio funding, where journals will receive their funding from different areas. So you might do some cross-sponsorship through money from conferences or author services or library services, which will serve to fund the journal. You might be looking at an open access journal, which will be funded through the gold route with APCs or article publication charges, or perhaps through institutional or transitional deals with academic or research institutions or with consortia of libraries or academia. You might also be looking at a mixed model whereby the online is free, but you may provide a print version, perhaps for practitioners or perhaps specifically for advertising or commercial companies to use as advertising or promotion for themselves. You might also look at grant funding. Some of the research bodies are putting money into journals to ensure that they are freely available to read. So grant funding might come from a research body. It might come from a parent organisation. In many parts of the world, journals are published by universities and the funding there comes through grants into the faculty to specifically fund that journal. Then there might also be sales revenue that can come out of the journal through products that are developed out of a single journal or perhaps a group of journals, and royalties or special sales might provide revenues for them. So the financial model can be fairly complicated, but it is important to think of short-term, medium-term and longer-term funding to ensure that you have a sustainable and strong financial model to keep the journal publishing. So where do you get all this information from? In the first hand, you want to talk to people. You want to talk to academia. You want to talk to the authors, the potential readers, the librarians, the information specialists. You might want to talk to grant funders. You might want to talk to conference organisers or perhaps commercial companies. There's a great deal you can learn iteratively through discussion with people. But underpinning this, you also need to do desk research. You need to read reports, you need to look at government statistics, academic statistics. You need to find out where the research is coming from. What's the volume of research? What's the volume of funding for that research? What other journals are publishing in the area? What do the other journals publish? How do they publish? Where would your journal fit into the landscape of journals, and where would its niche be? So desk research is a large part of the information sourcing that you need to do to develop a new journal. And with all of this going on, do beware of vanity journals. And vanity journals are often where new journal ideas come from. It can often be an individual or a group of people that gets so carried away with an idea, and they want to launch a journal. They want the kudos of being the first editor-in-chief, the first publisher of a journal. So always keep your feet on the ground and always ensure that all the decisions that are made on a journal are grounded in fact and experience and knowledge. And don't ever be afraid of pulling a plug on an idea if you honestly think it is not going to work. It is never too late to shut down an idea or to shut down a journal. But you want to avoid that. You want to make sure that you're developing a successful journal. So once you've done all this pre-planning, you then move into the planning stage. There's far too much in the planning stage to go through here, but as a very quick overview, the first thing with planning is to think of people. And the most important group of people that you need to get on board quite early on are the editors. The editor-in-chief or the lead editor who will be the visionary for the journal in its first few years. And this person or persons, then you may have several editors-in-chief, needs to be supported by an editorial board that will actively promote, support the journal and support the editor-in-chief and the publisher. So you need to get these people on quite early on, and they will also help you with the pre-planning stage and with the information gathering that you need. You also need to think about staff. What staff do you have existing that could work on this journal? Do they have capacity to work on the journal? Do you need to recruit new staff? And what are the costs of these, and how long will it take to recruit? You also need to think about the processes through which the journal will operate. What type of peer review? What type of submission process? What type of policies will you be implementing? Will you have a data policy? Do you require data? Do you require an abstract visual? Do you require a podcast from your authors? What are the policy decisions over the type of research, the type of articles, and the type of submissions that you will accept? And this is really where you're starting to get into the granular decisions over the journal to ensure that when it launches, you have everything in place. And when you have all these processes, you have the people, you need to put this planning into place. And again, probably sooner rather than later, when, who, and what. And sometimes this is done through formal project management software to actually timeline and ensure that every step of the way, everybody knows what is happening and where the direction is going to ensure the launch date that you've set. And talking of the launch date, remember that the timeline for launching a journal is longer than you think. The original setup of a journal can easily take several years. This is problematic because quite often you're responding to an immediate need or an immediate upsurge in new research or new areas. So delay is problematic, and there will be quite a lot of pressure often to rush the launch of a new journal. Be prepared to stand back from these because it will take a long time to set up. And once you're set up, you then need to give authors time to find you and to submit. And this also can take much longer than you think. At least 6 months is required to get new research, probably a couple of years. So if you're open for submissions, you need to make the journal known to your potential authors sooner rather than later. And don't underestimate the amount of time it will take. So in summary, if you are involved in a new journal launch, get excited. This, you know, it's great fun. It's really good fun. And it's good fun because you can choose to be extremely innovative in a way that you cannot be innovative with an existing journal publication. So get excited and get innovative, but stay grounded. Make sure that all the decisions that you're making are based on experience, on knowledge, and on research. And build a sustainable plan, not a flash in the pan plan, but something which will ensure that in 5 or 10 years' time, this journal will still be there and will be increasingly successful. And then you can make it a success. So good luck. I hope you are involved in new journal launches, and I hope you find them as exciting as they should be.